scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is it to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, and he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run to meet her and say to her, 'It is well with you. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him again. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell on his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she picked up her son and went out.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we have just heard. We ask, Holy Spirit, to give us revelation. For we desire to receive revelation and the wisdom of God today. I depend on you, Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. About 2-3 years ago, a chaplain friend of mine told me a testimony about this young boy in the hospital. Was about 12 or 13 years old. The only living part of his lungs, of his two lungs, was the size of 50 cent coins. So the child was actively dying. The doctor called the chaplain, and the chaplain went up. And this woman, the mother, told the chaplain, "Tell God I have nothing to bargain. Don't bargain. Just tell God, heal my son. No bargaining." This chaplain said, "I can't do that with God." And she said, "Man, woman of little faith, get up." This repeated 6-7 times. Finally, the chaplain gave way. The chaplain said, "God, this is what you had heard. No bargaining. This child must be healed." And walk away. The child is completely healed. Today, the child is about 30, 40 years old. He is a consultant. He is a computer consultant. God is a living God. The passage we read a few days ago when I was told to preach, I felt the Lord wanted me to speak on the silence of God. This is most of us. This is where most of us struggle. And the Lord led me to this passage. And when I read through it, the Lord revealed 3 other messages within the passage. I thought it was not really what I wanted to do, because the message today is about the season in life, the season of our life. But then there are 3 other messages where I thought, if the Lord put it in my heart, I need to share it. It may be for some of us. We see that this passage begins with a change in season in the life, in the family of the Shunammite woman. There was a change in season. At that time, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 16 to 17 says, at this time, this is what Prophet Elisha said, at this time, according to the time of life. And then at the end of it, he said, at that time, according to the time of life, there is a season in life. Time of life is a season in life. Season in life is pronounced by God, declared by God, fulfilled by God. So when we are in a season, you know God has put you in a season. It must be fulfilled by God. It got to be fulfilled by God. God will not leave you alone. God will not forsake you. That is his promise. Right? At this time, according to the time of life, at that time, according to the time of life, he will fulfill it. Because there is, to everything, there is a season. And at a time for every purpose under the heavens. We all went through seasons in life. All of us. Whether you recognize it or you don't recognize it, or you prolong it or you don't prolong it. Now, this is one of the messages that was hidden inside this whole passage. You remember this Shunammite woman came to the man of God. You see, prophets represent the presence of God in the Old Testament. So this woman, when the son died, ran to Elisha and caught him by his feet. In other words, she was actually kneeling down, calling to God, kneeling down. And Gehazi came to push her away. The name Gehazi means valley of visionary. Valley represents the corruption, moral corruption. Or Gehazi is actually a symbol of sin. You see in chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, Gehazi became a leper because he cheated the commander of Syria, of clothes and silver. So he was judged with leprosy. So Gehazi is actually a symbol of sin. Sin pulls you away from God. Elisha means God is a salvation. So sin always wants to take you away from God. This is what Gehazi did to pull this Shunammite woman away from the man of God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 said, "For your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sin have hidden his face from you, from hearing." So you see the picture of sin trying to take you away from God. The second picture that I received was the law. 2 Kings 4 verse 31. Gehazi passed by before them and laid a staff on the face of the child. Now this is what Elisha did, right? When Elisha saw the woman came to him, right? And he knew that the child was dead, right? So he took his staff. The staff here means actually the walking stick. It's not the shepherd's staff, it's the walking stick. So Gehazi passed on before Elisha and the woman, and went took Elisha's staff and put on the face of the child, but there was no voice or hearing. The boy did not come back to life. It speaks of the law, because the staff is a walking stick. A walking stick helped Elisha in his direction, in his walking. It's just like the commandment of the Lord is the lamp. The law is the light. So the walking stick speaks of the law. So law with a sinful man whose sin have not been washed away by the blood of the lamb will not give life. Okay, because in the Old Testament, the sins was covered by the blood of the animals. It was not washed away. So the law would not give life. You see, the Jews have 613 laws. If you sin one of them, you sin all of them. Right? It can never give life. So that's why it's called the ministry of death. And Romans chapter 3 verse says, "For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh." The law can't do it. The law cannot raise up a dead. God sent his own son. So you see the law in action here. The third message that hidden inside this passage is the cross. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 34 to 35. Elisha now knew that the staff did not raise up, or Gehazi did not raise up the son. So Elisha himself ran to the house. So he went up and lay on the boy, put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes, his hand on his hand, and he stretched himself on the boy. Now look at here. His eyes on his eyes, his mouth on his mouth, he stretched his hand. It is a symbol of the cross. You see the symbol of the cross? Only by the cross, by the blood of the Lamb on the cross, we have resurrection. The boy came back to life. Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the cross. So these three messages that I thought it is hidden inside this passage. So the Lord has revealed it. I hope you're blessed by it. All right, let's go through the seasons of life. This is what the Shunammite woman went through the whole journey. For some of us, it can be a moment. For some of us, it can be many years. I've heard of a lady whose mother and sibling were lost in a car crash. And where is God that season lasted for 25 years? You know, so it depends on us. Right? The season comes, it can depend on us to whether to get out of it, how soon you want to get out of it. Now, this is what happened to the Shunammite woman. She didn't expect a son. I think she probably had given up hope because the husband was old. She was a rich woman. No son. And then she was given a son by God, and suddenly this son died. How to reconcile? So there was a crisis. Then she went to the husband. The passage did not say whether the husband knew the son died or not died, because there was no conversation. Because the moment the son died, she was on the mother's lap. The Shunammite woman brought the son straight to the room where the Elisha used to stay. In other words, bring the dead body to the presence of God, where there was once the servant of God lived there. Right? And perhaps the husband knew, perhaps he did not know the son had died. You know, the husband asked, "Why do you have to see the man of God today? It's not a Sunday." Because in the Old Testament, as I said, the shepherd, the prophet represents the presence of God. Whenever the presence, the prophet on a Sunday, on the Sabbath day, or on the new moon, on the first day of the month, will go to the synagogue and he will read the word and give the word. You know? So if it's not Sunday, nobody was there. If it's not a Sabbath day, nobody was there. So it represents the presence of God was not there. So why? Where is God? Don't go, no need to go, because there is no God there. So every time when we have a crisis, I think I hear it very often in the hospital. I don't blame them, because we are human. When you have a crisis, your first question is, where is God? Why me? If God loved me, why me? You know, where is God? Then she went. She went to the Gezahi. She was rejected. Remember? Right? So a crisis can lead you to feel that you have been rejected by God or by the church. Yes? Anybody in that phase, at that season? Where is God? I feel God has rejected me. Sorry. And God is silent, because God did not reveal to Elisha what happened to this woman. Right? All that Elisha asked, was your husband okay? Are you okay? Is your child okay? All she said was, they're all okay. Right? God was silent. How many of us ever been in that stage, God is silent? You feel God never talked to me. Have I been there? Have you been there? I have been there. Only a few of us. The rest of us hear from God all the time. Fantastic. And then this woman began to say, it's not my fault. I never asked for a child. God, give me a child. You blame God. Right? Have you ever blamed God? Again, nobody blamed God. I'm the only one. And then Gehazi did not, the staff did not raise up the child. You feel that you are not connected to the word. Many times when you have a crisis, sometimes you come to the church, you feel that God doesn't speak to you, it's not relevant. Have you been there? You come to the church and say, no, God did not speak to me. It doesn't seem to be relevant to my issue in life. Have you been there? I've been there when I wanted to sell my business. All the time I was looking for a price, you know. Hopefully someone will say, oh, you know, $500,000. And they say, okay, God spoke. Never. I never heard $500,000 in church. So we feel that you're not connected. The word of God is not connected with you. Have you been there? This is a season. So as I said, this is a journey by the of the Shunammite woman, but it can be a season in our life. It can be a season in our life. Now here's the good news. I came back to first. Faith on the cross. And then the breakthrough. Right? I'm sure all of you have been here. Yes? Well, good. At one stage. Sure. But these are the seasons in life. We can get caught in this season for years. As I said, this lady was caught for 25 years. You know? A friend of mine, I think is in WA, I think is still in that season of where is God for many years. I think they're still there. Now we tend to think that season is about rain, temperature, but actually the word season in the Bible is about a time of meeting God. You see the meaning of season. The meaning of season in the Bible, it means a fixed time, an assembly as called for a specific purpose, a convened for a specific purpose, a congregation, a place of meeting, an appointed sign and time, a place of solemn assembly, congregation, synagogue. A season means a time of meeting God. Every season, God wants to meet us. There is no season where God is not around. There is no season where God remains silent. Every season in life is where God wants to meet us. Some of the season, we may not like it. Right? Some of the things I went through for the past 20 years, some of them I don't like it. But still, God meets us. So season is a meeting time with God. That's why we are in five seasons here. Am I right? Now, every season has different processes of going through the growth in us. Right? I mean, if you are this piece of seed here, you're about to drop into a place where you are very unfamiliar. The temperature will change, the moisture will change, the surrounding will change. You are not as beautiful as you are. Right? If it's here, everybody will look at you. Yes? If it's here, everybody will look up to you. Am I right? What happened? Your fault, I think. All right, if it's here, you're very uncomfortable. You hear very uncomfortable. Well, you're slightly better now because you stick out your head. Right? Right? So, but God has to wait until the atmosphere is ready for you to come out. God has to wait. So we have to wait underground for a while when nobody notices you. Uncomfortable. You can't sleep. Water comes in. Heat comes in. Dirt comes in. Worms come in. Until you lift up your head. We all got through that season. But every step, every of this season, God has called for the season. God will fulfill the season. God will fulfill it. Right? Can I describe Pinky's season at that time? We're probably here. You know, God lift up your hand and say, God, I got a fruit now. I got a fruit of my prayer. Right? It was not comfortable. Am I right to say it? We are all parents, right? Sleepless nights, waiting for the doctor, try to read his lips, try to read between statements. It's not comfortable. It's a lot of fear. But season is the place to meet God. Now, how do you deal with it? Let's look at how the Shunammite woman deal with it. First thing she did was lay the dead body on the bed belonged to the man of God. In other words, where there was once the presence of God there, now we are in the New Testament, presence of God is everywhere, right? There was once a representation of the presence of God there. That is the most ideal place to leave the child there. Belong to the man of God and shut the door and leaving him behind as he left. Now, many of us cannot shut the door. That's where our problem is. When we have a crisis, right? If you read John probably 20 something after Jesus was crucified, died, and put in the tomb, right? On the suburb there, the ladies, Magdalene came and disciple came. You see in that passage, probably 7 or 8 times, the Bible repeated the word tomb, 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 tomb. It's all about the language of death. The Shunammite woman did not want to talk about the language of death, the language of impossibility, the language of negativity. She shut the door. Shut the door. Some of us have been hurt, and you can't get away from it. You keep repeating about the person who hurt you. Yes? Day and night. Right? On every dinner table. Every night. Every friend that you meet. You know, sometimes you have an issue. It becomes a problem. Right? If you don't deal with it, you become the problem. Because everybody look at you. You talk about the same thing all the time. Because you did not shut the door. Make it a point today. If you still have a lot of hurt and a lot of unforgiveness and resentment, tonight, throw it all out to God and shut the door. Shut the door, okay? Shut the door, leave behind, and quickly go to the man of God. In other words, focus on God. Shut the door, focus on God, and knowing that you'll be right back, God will restore you. Go with that confidence. Shut the door. I will be back. The child will be raised up. That is the attitude that she had. Shut the door. I will be back. The child will be raised up. And this is what the husband said, right? What's the point of visiting the man of God today? But she kept saying things will go well. All's well with my soul. All's well with my soul means shalom. Shalom means peace. I have peace with God. When you have peace with God, God is for you. God is not against you. When you have peace with God, the promises of God must be fulfilled. Because the word of God follows the peace of God. Right? When you have peace with God, everything obey the word of God. So she said, I have peace with God. Another one. And then she said, forward. She said, from her place to Mount Carmel, where she met Elisha, is about 15 kilometers. It's about Deer Park to here. Can you imagine? Gehazi has to run like that. 15 kilometers. Right? Ran to the child and couldn't raise up the child. Ran back again. It's a lot of time. Shut the door. Focus on God. Keep your faith. Move forward. If you keep talking about the language of hurt and death and tomb, you have not moved forward. Whether you have changed a new house or moved to WA or moved back to Singapore, you have not changed your world. Your word is still in your heart. You still live in the tomb. Move forward and drive. She arrived at Mount Carmel to meet the man of God. All things, so Elisha asked her, are things going well with you? Are things going well with your husband? Are things going well with your child? And she said, all is well. She was not lying because her focus was on peace with God. Her focus was on the word of God. Her focus was on what God can do, not what she can do. So all is well. It's not about boasting. It's not about telling lies. It's about focus on the word of God. She has peace with God, peace with the word of God. Because she said, I'll be back. Have I got time yet? And she came, a Shunammite woman came near to the man of God on the mountain, and she grabbed his feet, in other words, kneel down, worshiping God. When Gazahi intervened to push her away, which we saw just now. Now, and she said to this man of God, as long as you and the Lord live, I am not leaving you. So she got up and followed her. In other words, God, you have to fulfill this promise. Just like the woman in the hospital. God, you got to fulfill. This is what you said. I want you to see this. Elisha followed her. In other words, if you are fervent with God, faithful with God, blessing of God will follow you. The blessing of God will follow you. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, the goodness and the mercy of God will follow me. Right? We don't chase after blessing. We chase after God. This is what this Shunammite woman did. She chased after God, helped God, kneel down, cling on to the promise of God. The blessing of God followed her. Yep. In other words, your businesses follow you. Your opportunities follow you. Your good health follow you. Your good relationship follow you. Your healing follows you. If you follow God. What's that? How did the Shunammite do it? She could have been a very bitter woman for the rest of her life, and the son died. Right? But she was able to shorten it within a few hours. How did she do it? Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3 give us a little bit of answer. For his delight means the desire and longing is in the law of the Lord or in the word of God, and he meditate. Meditate means you murmur with pleasure. You see, thank God that he's my God. Thank God that you're my provider. Thank God that you are my shield. Thank God that you're my light. Thank God that you're my restorer. Thank God that you're my healer. Right? Do that every morning if you can. Or imagine, or ponder, and roar. Why roar? Because the devil roar at you draw it back. Yes. The devil will tell you it is not possible. It is impossible. You can't help it. No more. Close. The language of the tomb said close. Close the door. Died. But the language of God said Jesus was resurrected. We hope, we all have the hope of the resurrection power of Christ in our lives. It may seem impossible, but God is able to do it. Right? Now, that depends on your delight. Not depends on, this is on top of prayer. I'm not talking about praying. It's that delight is in the meditation of the Lord. And I'm not talking about your pastor meditate for you. He said this is a very personal thing. His delight, your delight, not your pastor's delight. The pastor may be able to pray up to this point that you have a delight. Yes? If they come to the altar call, people pray for you, to that point you have a delight. If God wants you to change the season by meditating on your word, on his word, you will come to this point, but you have to do your delight in the Lord by meditating on the word of God. Delight to meditate on the word day and night. Day means daily, every day. Night doesn't mean end of the day. Night means season. Or in adversity, when in the dark days of your life, you still stick to the word of God. This is what the Shunammite woman did. In the very, very dark hours of her life, she still stick to the word of God. All is well with my soul. Shalom. I have peace with God. God has peace with me. His word must be fulfilled because there is no conflict between him and me. Yes, when you have peace with God, there is no conflict between God and you. There is no conflict between God's word and your problem. Right? God said it's possible with man, it's not possible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. It must be possible to you because you have peace with God. Right? Peace with God means peace with the Word of God. Peace with the Word of God means everything that God says must apply to you. Am I right? Or else there's a conflict. That's why when Jesus first resurrected out of the tomb, the first thing he told the disciple was, peace be with you. Because they were all the time with the language of the tomb, which is a conflict with what God says. Right? Jesus restored the position and said, peace be with you. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth means to be assigned on or to be granted. The fruit, his fruit of in his season. It's all about the person who meditates. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It's very personal. So your personal walk with the Lord or the prayer of the people who pray for you may bring you to this point, but you have to take it on from this point to meditate on the Word of God yourself. It's about the person. He means that person who meditates on the Word of God. The pastor cannot meditate on the Word of God for every one of us. Right? You'll probably lose his hair. You know? There's so much to do. But you have to do it. The fruit is yours. The season is yours. The prosperity is yours. Now you can shorten your season. You shorten your season by delighting in the Word of God. Or you can say 25 years. It's up to you. Right? Or you can be like the children of Israel, 40 years. Right? Simply because they do not agree with God. Right? So the season is there, but the length of season is our choice. It's our choice. When you get delighted, you shorten it. I still have time. If not, I skip this one. Let me skip this one for the time being. Now, some other season. I just give two examples of season. In Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19, he said, do not remember the former things. Remember, shut the door. Shut the door. Do not remember the former things, but now consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. And it shall sprout, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Now, I want you to see this. God did not remove the wilderness. He only made a way. Hello? Sometimes we look for wilderness to be removed, but God did not do it. He just made a way, which is what you need. Yes? God did not remove the desert. He made rivers in the desert. That's where you grow your tree. Remember? The tree planted by the rivers of water. Hello? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God will send the rivers so that you can meditate on the Word of God. You'll grow, not for you to swim. We think, oh, rivers is here, there's some shower, you know, wait for the fruit. No fruit unless you plant the seed. Meditate on the Word of God. Okay, so God sometimes do not remove the desert, but there's a river for you to plant that tree. You okay? Okay. This is another one. Isaiah 25, verse 5 says, God will bring down the noise of the foreigners as the heat in the dry place, even the heat with the shadow of the cloud, the shouting of the terrible ones will be brought low. God did not take away the heat. The heat in the dry place. But now, God still keep the heat, but he give you a shadow of cloud. In other words, when there is a dry land, there is a piece of cloud on top of you, there is hope because the rain is coming. But the heat is still there. Now, I want you to see this as well. He shall bring down the noise of the foreigners. Foreigners are people who don't know you. Maybe you have an issue. A lot of people talk about you. So much so that people who don't know you also talk about you. Your neighbors, neighbors, neighbors. Right? Your mother-in-law's 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 friends. All talk about you. They don't know about your situation. But they like to add on some comment about you. Throw in their 2 cents worth. You have to, in that situation, people just talk about you. But God did not remove the heat. God did not remove the dry place. But God silenced the noise of the aliens. You will see that they talk less now. They talk about you. They talk less about you now. They got their own problem to take care. Another one, the shouting of the terrible ones will be brought low. Actually, another verse, I like the other verse. It says the singing of the terrible, the song of the terrible ones, the song of the terrible ones will be diminished. The person who sings the song knows you, knows the song. Yes? Yes? So this speaks of the person who knows you. Maybe your neighbors, maybe the person who go to the same church, maybe your friend, maybe your brothers who know you speak against you. Terrible people sing terrible songs. Yes, they sing song against you. But God did not remove the heat, but he says that they also silent. They also, their noise will be brought low. So is the foreigners. So you may see the surrounding has begin to cool down. The heat is still there, but now there is a piece of cloud. There is a rain that is coming. Okay? There is hope because God has brought in a rain. 11:49. Should I stop? Just one more, okay? Just one more. All right, this is the one that I wanted to say. This is what Paul wrote. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Where do you get spiritual wisdom and understanding? By meditating on the Word of God. By listening to the Word of God. Right? The wisdom and understanding come from the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth. He revealed all truth to us. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit, this is Psalm 23, bearing fruit in someone, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Now, endurance and patience is in the will of God. We got to go through it. All endurance, all patience. Wait for a while. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, this speaks of what Paul did was that I keep praying for you so that you can bear fruit. In other words, I keep praying for you until you go to Psalm 1 and meditate, then you bear your own fruit. You bear fruit in every good work. It's not just people praying for you. I know that it's very important. We must, like what Pinky said, we must come to the altar call and be prayed for. Or get a friend to pray for, or get a pastor to pray for, or get an elder to pray for, or pray together, or pray on your own. But there is a time to change the season where you need to bear fruit on your own in every good work. And that is my meditation on the Word of God. All right, God bless you. I hope that helped you to shorten the season a little bit tonight. So start tonight by delighting in the Word of God. By meditating, declare. If you don't know the verses, declare the character of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my provider. Jesus Christ is my peace. Why don't we declare Jesus Christ is our Lord? Jesus Christ is our refuge. Come on. Jesus Christ is our fortress. Come on. Jesus Christ is our fortress. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our healer. Declare Jesus Christ is our healer. Jesus Christ is our restorer. Jesus Christ is our redeemer. Jesus Christ is our defender. Jesus Christ is our shield. Jesus Christ is our rock. Jesus Christ is our fortress. Jesus Christ is our light. Jesus Christ is our life. Lord Jesus Christ is our truth. Jesus Christ is our way. Jesus Christ is our banner. Jesus Christ is our miracle. Jesus Christ is our strength. Jesus Christ is the power of God. Jesus Christ is our power. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes? Declare who Jesus Christ, because the devil is going to roll you back. You're going to roll back against the devil. And said, no, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my peace. Jesus Christ is my shalom. All is well with my soul. God bless you.